We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international under depression.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
I'm also most grateful. There's no crying in baseball. For my beautiful and supportive wife, Michelle, and my amazing stepdaughters, Laura, Grace, and Madison.
Well, that was one of the tougher moments for Mike Schilt as he addressed the media this morning. He did not take any questions. Kevin Wheeler is with us from Cam Wex and the Cardinals Radio Network. Sue Thomas back this afternoon. I knew that would kind of break you up.
Sorry, I hadn't heard that. That was kind of heartbreaking.
Well, it is heartbreaking. I mean, no matter what you feel about the situation, that's a tough thing. And Kevin, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Mike Schilt took basically the entire opportunity that he had to speak to all of us. Basically just saying thank you. That's pretty much all he did. He said thank you to his wife and his stepdaughters, thanked as many people as he could list by name in the Cardinals player development department that he had worked with over the years, in the minor leagues, the major league staff. I don't think he named players, but certainly did name, you know, the Cardinals greats, you know, the Hall of Famers, Ozzie and Willie and all those people, for helping him kind of acclimate and all that. So yeah, today was just basically a big thank you.
So the question I have for you, and I'll play his answer, do we have any more information after what happened last week about the philosophical differences? This is what the former Cardinal skipper said today.
I was taught not to talk out of school, and while clearly there were differences that led to this parting of ways, out of respect for the organization, the people that run it, I can only express my gratitude and all the philosophies that were shared over the many years, most of which together allowed us to part ways as professional friends, and that will be left said. And what differences there were will be left to remain unsaid. I respect and hope that any rumors or window that are out there can be left to just, let's move forward and let's take care of maintaining the integrity of the future of the organization.
Yeah, that was on a Zoom call, a little rough with the audio, but obviously he's taking the high road, understandably so. Yep. Like he may have the opportunity for another job. The Padres are expressing some interest in talking with him, but they kind of want to find out what the deal is, don't
they? Yeah, that was what one of the Padres reporters, Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union-Tribune, said, that they're interested in him, but they want to learn a little bit more about what went into this little breakup here. But it's not going to be anything dramatic from, you know, what we understand. I mean, There might have been, I mean, like, we don't know for sure, and I know he said, please don't get into rumors, so I'm not going to make any rumors. I mean, we're just going to go by what was said and then what we can draw from that, right? So John Mozeliak last week during the press conference with him and Bill DeWitt Jr. was asked about whether this had to do with hitting coach Jeff Albert, and Mo's response to that was that that was not the sole reason. So, I mean,
that's a yes. I mean, that is, but not the only thing.
Right, right. It's and I think that's important for everybody to understand. It's not one thing.
Right.
It's not that he put Alex Reyes into the wild card game. That is not why he got let go. If that was the case, he would have been fired the next day, not a week and a half, 2 weeks later, whatever it was. Not after all the meetings. If that was it, it would have been like, bye, see ya. We're not going to do this anymore. And plus, nobody gets fired for one thing like that. And, you know, we've also seen, and I know Katie Wu of The Athletic had this, Derek Gould's been all over everything, but Mike Schilt exchanged a couple texts with KD where she listed some of these things, and he said essentially those things have some merit, but it's not the whole picture,
and
essentially.
That's essentially so the Jeff Albert connection, right?
And also the
analytics stuff.
Yes, the team wanting to lean even further into analytics moving forward. And what that means, you see, people hate that word analytics. They get so mad. Like, what happened to the human element? Like, you know, listen, man, do you want the person that manages your 401k to be relying on their gut, or do you want them to use the analytics? Do you want them to use all of the evidence at hand based on all of the years of history that we have in record, or do you want them to just pull it out of their rear end? Because for a long time, sports were about the gut feel of whoever the man was in charge on the field, on the court, behind the bench, on the ice, whatever. And now it's enhanced with all of this extra information. And instead of just the notes that your scouts took down about the opposing players, you now have every at-bat or every pitch they've ever thrown in the big leagues to go back to,
right,
call the information. So, you know, again, people don't like that idea, but I want to remind everybody that if you look at the teams that have had the most success in recent years and even right now, it's the Dodgers, it's the Rays. The Giants just won 107 games by going deep into analytics. They changed their entire front office. They brought in their president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, came from the Dodgers to San Fran, I believe after 2019. So last year kind of a wash because of COVID and all that. But this was their first full year as the front office with the Giants. They were a crappy team before. People were talking about them being a rebuilding team and coming into this year probably hoping to just be decent. And they won 107 games, leaning into analytics.
Well, I think most people expected the Padres maybe to win that division if another team was
Padres,
going to win.
You know, the Astros are a heavy analytics team. As much as you hate them, this is the fifth straight year they've been in the American League Championship Series. The Red Sox are a heavily analytics-based team. Like, that is the trend. That's the way it's going, and it's the top teams that are doing it. So if the Cardinals want to lean into that more, whether that means who plays on what day and who sits, or how you're going to deploy your bullpen or whatever, I mean, there's a reason to understand that. And if Mike Schilt wasn't willing or comfortable doing that, well, there's a philosophical difference. Throw that in with the hitting coach, and who knows what other couple of things might have popped up here and there, and you've got a split.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping an eye just to see what Bernie Miklos was going to say. He wrote a big column the other day.
Yeah, great, man.
He just released another one here today that basically goes into some of what you just said with the analytics. Because basically, I was looking for the line here. The analytics are, you're not going to just toss them aside. This is the direction that they're going in right now. And, you know, I think that it was, I don't know if it was a my way or the highway situation, but clearly there was
something,
a big difference in opinion moving forward for Mike Schilt and John Mozeliak and the rest of the management to kind of get their arms around, I guess.
Yep. And look, you know, the two things what we're looking at right now doesn't mean that Mike Schilt is wrong or that the team is wrong. What we have to admit is right now we don't know if this is a good or a bad decision. We're not going to know until we see how it plays out. You know, who do they hire? What direction do they take? And also, by the way, how do they look? Because if they come out next year and they struggle, let's say the defense and base running slip, you know, that was Mike Schilt's big thing, is one of the things they really got excellent at when he took over as the manager. They became one of the best defensive teams in baseball. By the way, leaning into analytics to do that too. And because under Mike Matheny, they didn't shift. And they didn't shift because some of the veteran pitchers didn't like it. And under Schilt, they've shifted a lot more. And, shocking, the defense got better. And then you combine that with the talent that they have on defense. Oh, my goodness, look at this. They're the best defensive team in baseball. Shocking, right? Well, if they want to do more of that on the offensive side, if you look at the Cardinals and compare them to how the Dodgers work, compare them to how the Rays work and all that, the Cardinals are much more old school when it comes to their lineup. They like an everyday lineup. They don't like to play. Don't play matchups. They don't play lefty-righty. They don't play fastball, breaking ball matchups with their players. And on the pitching side, very traditional in how they handle the bullpen, for example, and how they handle, you know, when they don't have enough starting pitching. They don't go for an opener and then a length guy. They don't play matchups like these other teams do almost entirely based on what the matchups will tell you, what the analysts tell you. They have a little bit more of a straightforward role. Mike, there's always kind of a closer, right? There's a ninth inning guy, whether it's Reyes or Gallegos. And then there are guys that pitch when you're ahead, and then there are guys that pitch when you're behind. It's more old school the way that they run that. So if the team, and I don't know that they want to, but based on what we've heard, you know, with the analytics and of course, the hitting stuff with Jeff Albert, if the team wants to lean more into that and the manager doesn't want to do it, well,
yeah,
you got to figure some kind of solution.
So two things I want to get your reaction to. One, this is in the most recent Mikolas column that came out. He says, point number nine is, I can't emphasize this enough. If you aren't fully on board with an analytics train that's moving forward, there's no ticket to ride. I think you would agree with that. He says, if you asked me to choose the number one reason for Schilt's dismissal, this would be it. Other reasons, yes, but this would be at the top of the list from a pure baseball standpoint. You kind of just covered that, Kevin.
Yeah.
But on that topic, and these two things are separate but related, the Jeff Albert stuff, Mozeliak, he says, absolutely needs to clear the air on Jeff Albert. Many outspoken fans and pro-Schilt media types continue to raise speculations about Albert's protected presence and authority. Mozeliak needs to explain why management believes Albert has been successful and provide the details. The interesting thing about this guy, we talk about him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what he looks like. I mean, I'm sure you
do.
But people, he's sort of this mysterious character that keeps getting brought up in the last couple of years.
He's everybody's Kaiser Soze is what he is.
Yes, exactly.
He's everybody's Kaiser Soze. Kaiser Soze did it!
It's just kind of weird. So I'm guessing you might agree that maybe Mo should address that more. Now, whether he will or not, that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right. I thought they should have expanded a lot more than they did last week. Not necessarily in terms of whatever personal
breaking news.
Oh, no, ignore that. There's no breaking news.
I don't have any breaking news.
That was my
news.
iPad hitting something that
nice
it should
job,
have
Reardon.
Hit. Yeah, exactly.
Nice job. You're fired. Actually, I don't have the power to
the
do
analytics
that.
Didn't
yeah.
come into
Listen,
play here, though.
Go talk to the quants, man. You got to figure this out. When we're talking about Jeff Albert, I think the thing that's hard to do is understand that none of us really know whether a hitting coach or a pitching coach is actually having an effect or not. There's a chicken.
You would think there'd be a way to tell that.
There isn't,
but
though. So using the team, using the Cardinals lineup as an example, there's eight everyday players, right? So Yadier Molina, Paul Goldschmidt, Tommy Edman, Paul DeJong, Nolan Arenado, Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, Dylan Carlson. Of those eight, how many of them had bad years?
You mean just by the traditional metrics of baseball?
Just like offense, yeah. Like
out of the players that you named.
Did Yadi have a bad year?
No.
I mean, Yadi had the year you would expect from a 39-year-old catcher, right?
Right.
Did Paul Goldschmidt have a bad year?
No, he had probably better second half certainly than we expected.
But he was Paul Goldschmidt.
Yes.
He was the guy that he was in Arizona.
Yes.
So is that because of the coach or is that because he's Paul Goldschmidt?
Good question.
Probably because he's Paul Goldschmidt, right? So if that holds for Goldie or Arenado, well, then maybe that also holds for, say, Tommy Edman, who didn't have amazing numbers, but was actually a solid, decent player, right? He's not a great hitter, but he's also not a big drag either. He's a little below average because he doesn't get on base a lot. But everything else is pretty good. A lot of doubles, a lot of steals, good energy, all that. Harrison Bader is one of the most controversial players on the roster. He was like
had a great second half.
He was like 19% above league average offensively this year.
Yeah.
Dylan Carlson's a rookie, pretty good year, right? He's gonna get votes for rookie of the year. He's gonna be one of the best rookies in the National League. Tyler O'Neill had an amazing breakthrough year. He's the new rock star in the lineup.
He needs to work out a little bit more. That's the only criticism I have of Tyler.
If he would just lift more of those wall scrapers,
maybe a little
go deeper into the stands.
Then.
But Tyler O'Neill had a breakout year. So what we're down to basically is Paul DeJong having a terrible year. And then, say, Edmund being mediocre and Bader being inconsistent, but in the end, pretty good. So we're going to blame the hitting coach that we couldn't figure out Paul DeJong. Or we're going to blame him because Matt Carpenter's 36 with a bad back and can't hit anymore. But we're not going to credit him with Tyler O'Neill. And we're not going to credit him.
Well, these are fair questions.
Right, that's
Absolutely.
What I'm saying. And the other thing that is important to understand
don't
about...
Don't use facts, Wheeler.
I know.
Come on, man.
I don't know Jeff Albert. I've spoken to him one time. That's it. One time on the radio. I don't know him. I'm not defending him. I'm simply saying
you're raising great points,
that
though.
We don't know.
Absolutely.
Now, keep in mind that Jeff Albert is also in charge of the hitting program for the entire minor league system. And this year, they had a bunch of really huge breakout hitters in the minor leagues. Juan Yepes had like a career high of 10, 11 home runs before this year. He hit 27 home runs between AA and AAA, most of it at AAA. Cardinals top hitting prospect Nolan Gorman's 21, had a massive year at AA and AAA and is now in the Arizona Fall League. At 21, he's got a chance to be on the roster next year. Jordan Walker, last year's number one pick, was a rock star. He's now a top 100 prospect.
Let me ask a question related to
that. Literally like 7-8 guys.
So when Jeff Albert is the hitting coach for Nolan Gorman, he's not necessarily saying, hey, you're holding the bat on your shoulder too low. So explain explain how the analytics then play into what he's teaching these kids.
It's more than just analytics, but the analytics are telling us the story, right? So when you're talking about modern hitting instruction and what these young guys are used to, they're used to technology. And that's one of the big Jeff Albert things is tech. So all of these minor league players are used to getting feedback and numbers on every swing they take.
Yeah.
So there are sensors on the knobs of the bats so that all of these things are recorded in games. Your bat speed, your angle of approach.
All these things. Not unlike it would be relatable for somebody out there who is an amateur golfer like me because the numbers.
This all came from the golf world,
right,
by the way.
Because I didn't know that. Yeah, but the analysis that you can have now of your swing, your launch angle, the spin, all these things.
And these guys have that available every day, all the time, and that's part of the innovation that the Cardinals have been putting into place.
That's why they go into the – like they go right away and they look at their video after
they
an at-bat,
see,
right?
They want to see the swing, yes, but they're also going to look at those things like, all right, how was my approach? You know, did I get a little steep in my approach, which means I'm coming up a little too much and now I'm going to hit a fly ball rather than squaring the ball up. But, I coach junior high and high school players, and we use this for them.
Sure.
So this is what people are growing up with now. This is what hitters, all of the guys in their mid-20s or so and younger grew up with this. So the Cardinals, when they hired Albert, was when they were making this big effort to upgrade all of that across the minor league system. So, analytics is the analysis of results, right? It's the analysis of your production, your performance, and an understanding it. How does it relate to your league? How does it relate to your age? You know, what would we expect based on this quality of contact? There's also the specific instructional stuff. This is with pitching, too, by the way, and this is why pitchers throw so much harder. And that's why these pitches you see, if you're looking on Twitter on some of these accounts, these pitches do weird, crazy things with movement because people know how to do that now to manipulate the baseball to get it to do what you want. What it all is, guys, is science. It's physics and geometry. Physics and geometry, the understanding of those two things. And putting it in terms.
Keep in mind, I work on the radio.
I know, that's why.
I went to journalism. We don't need math in journalism.
Well, that's
the reason.
Your reaction is clearly the reaction that a lot of people have when we talk about these things, these measurements, analytics, launch angle, all that. But what's funny to me is that these are things that every generation of baseball player has known exist, but they called it something else. So you hear a high spin rate fastball, right? You hear that and people are like, I don't want to hear about that. Well, back then, back in the day, that was called a rising fastball. Old-timers would talk about a fastball that was rising. Now, it can't. It's not physically possible for a pitch to rise because it decelerates and continues to decelerate the moment it leaves the hand. But the high spin rate is what makes it look like it because it carries longer and stays flatter. To a hitter, it looks like it's rising. We've always known about launch angle. People hate launch angle. Back in the day, the term for it was the hitter has good loft in his swing. He's got nice natural loft in his swing. Should produce some power as he gets stronger. Huh. That's how scouts and coaches all talked about it for generations. So what people apparently don't like are the new terms for those same things.
Did the modern analytics kind of start with Billy Beane and the A's?
To a degree. That was much more about marketing efficiency. Okay. So, right, that wasn't as much about instruction of players and putting
but
that was about finding undervalued skill sets and getting them on the cheap so you didn't have to pay a lot of money
to
be good.
But I also think, and Sue might even back me up on this because we're listening to you give this explanation. I've learned a lot here in the last 10 minutes. And I think if people understand analytics a little bit, because look, I'm an old school baseball guy and I could instantly just reject numbers and analytics and spin, say, can't you just use your gut at making these decisions? But
again,
this is educational.
Ask yourself, do you want the person managing your retirement account to use their gut
That's
or do you want
question.
Them to use the analytics?
Right.
And
couldn't you make the case though, say, sometimes you got
to
go.
No, they have to because this is the one thing that will never change and why managers, their number one job of a manager in modern baseball, and really the number one job of any head coach in any sport, is managing human beings. This is why the analytics department is doing a lot of the strategy, but you never see the analytics guy, the analyst, the quant, the guy that came up through that side. That person is never going to manage a team because that's not the job there. Everybody in that role can say, here are our favorable matchups based on these thousands and thousands and thousands of data points. And we know the more data points you have, the more accurate the information's going to be.
Otherwise,
right?
You just put a computer in charge of the team.
Well,
otherwise,
that's the point.
You have to have.
But a human has to manage players who have personalities. Psychology matters in sports. It matters across the board. In fact, you could argue psychology is more important than the physical understanding of how to do the job, because a lot of people know how to do the job. How do you get through the tough parts? How do you get someone, by the way, to buy into doing something differently than they've done their entire lives because this will make them better?
Right.
And that's what the modern day manager's biggest job is.
Okay, let me ask, because I just want to ask this question now based on everything you've said, because I'm genuinely curious. How does everything you said then play into the decision of Dave Roberts last night putting Urias in that game? Because that's been heavily criticized.
Yeah.
And they're doing weird stuff, right? They're opening the game with a closer.
Yeah, they've had Corey Knebel start a couple of the playoff games as an opener, and then they follow him with length guys. They've got a deep, strong bullpen, so they play the matchups. Now the Urias thing last night, on one side doesn't make sense because, hey, he just pitched a couple of days ago and, you know, he was due to start game four, but he only threw 50 pitches the other day. So normally a starting pitcher is going to throw 90 to 100 pitches or more. So he essentially threw half of a start in his last appearance, which is what Dave Roberts pointed out. And the guys he was facing there were two of the better hitters that both bat left-handed for Atlanta. So do you want to go with a right-hander against those guys? And again, all of the analytics are going, all of the history of these players goes into this, right? Do those two batters, Eddie Rosario and Freddie Freeman, do they typically handle right-handers better than left-handers? If the answer is that they handle right-handers better, then you've got a guy in Urias that's got elite stuff, who's been off for a couple of days, who only pitched 50 pitches the other day. And he's also, by the way, the guy that closed out the World Series for you last year. He closed the game. So even though he's a starter, he's had extensive experience in the postseason coming in. I don't think that's as big a deal as people are making it.
Yeah,
it didn't work, which takes me back to Tony La Russa, which is a move is only good when it works.
Well,
that's what Tony used to say.
And that's true. Otherwise, we'd never be talking about this. Yep. The Dodgers win that game 4-2. No one's talking about a great decision by Dave Roberts, but obviously should see some of the coverage in L.A. today based on that decision. Kevin, very educational, always helpful.
Woo!
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. 328, 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, Sue, we got stuck with Jane on Sue's News on Friday, but she did pretty good.
I'm sure it was fine.
It was fine.
It's a solid effort.
She gave it her all.
B minus and giving it.
Yeah, you know, B minus is good on the curve. That's all right. But Sue will be back here today with Sue's News, and we look forward to that just after 4 o'clock.
Well, I want to thank her for filling in. That was nice.
We had fun on Friday. We missed you. You had a trip to Chicago. How did that go?
It was great. Went to see my niece play field hockey at Northwestern, and
that's a beautiful campus.
Dave,
it's
how is
phenomenal.
That even real college?
Yeah,
I mean, you tour that campus, and she took me in the athletic, you know, facility they have up there. Their endowment must just be, I mean, just mind-blowing.
It's another world.
It really, thank you, yes.
You know what's funny? I don't think I've been to that campus since I was about 12 years old, because, you know, I grew up in that area just off the
lake.
Morton Grove, Park Ridge, Niles, Illinois, which is near Northwestern, which is in Evanston. But I used to go to the beaches there when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't been to I only considered the best journalism school in the country and the one that was much cheaper because I lived in Missouri, the University of Missouri, so I never looked at Northwestern.
No, I get it.
But,
well,
yeah, beautiful campus.
Gorgeous, and they won, and it was just stunning weather. And we also did a Segway tour, because I do a Segway tour wherever I go. In downtown Chicago, and it was super windy and crazy, but gorgeous.
Now, do they give you Kevlar, or did you have to rent it on your own when you did that? That's a good St. Louis line, too.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get away from it. And did my vehicle get stolen? No, it really did not.
A good point.
Yeah.
Good point, Sue.
But It was so fun. So, yeah, thank you. We had a great restaurant experience, too, and some good food. It was just a great experience.
Did she win the game?
She did. And listen, they have some really – this is a Division I team. So there are some serious players
so
on this team.
So this isn't club sport. This is a Division I field hockey team.
Correct.
Competitive.
Correct.
Okay.
For Northwestern.
Right.
And they were up enough that – Sophie got actually into play because the serious people, there's a woman from Denmark, one from Spain. They're from all over the
Holy
world.
Cow, really?
I mean, this is serious,
Can
hardcore stuff.
Can I ask a couple
stuff.
Of stupid
so,
questions?
Yes.
What field hockey? Explain the game. How is it different from lacrosse or regular hockey? Well, I probably know this, but I can't remember.
In high school, it's played on a field, not ice.
Thank you, Dave.
Correct. Thank you. That's exactly right. And so it's a low stick, you know, and they're thicker than a hockey stick. Mm-hmm. And the girls, I don't know how else
but
to describe
there a goal,
it.
But is there a goal that is
it's,
the it's, size of a
pretty much
goal?
Soccer with a stick.
Okay.
Right? You know, and if there's a high ball, you have to bring it down. It's huge in St. Louis because she played club in Houston and would come to St. Louis for these tournaments because St. Louis has a ton of, club places, and we have great places, great fields to play. Are you showing him what it is, Dave, or was that something else?
No, I think he just came. He may be nervous.
Maybe Alexa
I thought he was
might
show.
Like it.
Yeah. Well, she will be exposed. She's playing soccer right now and doing the swimming thing. I went to the University of Missouri, and that was a terrible decision for the second week out of
You went
the
away
last
to
month.
Watch the game again? Is
yeah,
that what
well,
you're
I
saying?
Well, I took my little brother Cameron from Big Brothers Big Sisters, although we've kind of gone rogue from the organization. I did like the organization. We kind of broke apart because, quite candidly, and his mom and I made this determination, but there were so many rules with COVID. You know, he couldn't do this. We were breaking all the rules anyway, and his mom, you know, we were
she
being...
She was in on it.
Right, exactly. Right. So we were like, okay, I think we need to just kind of... So I'm maintaining the relationship, but he had never been to Columbia to see the campus. He's 14, about to turn 15 now, and had
and
never
probably
been to a football game.
From the school.
Yeah, that's
right.
It for that.
Well, we took him to a tailgate and then to the terrible game. It was just awful, Dave.
Wait, what happened? Just, I don't
well,
even...
they got smoked again by Texas A&M.
Oh, well, duh.
They actually... Tennessee put more points up on Mizzou in that game a few weeks ago, but it was what was it, 35-14 in the end. Wasn't quite as bad as it appeared. But we can't stop someone if my daughter, who's six, was given the football by an opposing team and asked to run through the defensive line. She would.
You think you could? Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. She wouldn't. She wouldn't even be touched.
No,
they
honestly,
don't even touch
it
people.
It was that bad.
Yes.
It honestly looks like the defense has like margarine on their gloves and they're trying to tackle people.
Oh,
that's
I'm
how
so
bad
sorry.
It looks.
It really is. That is not an exaggeration.
No.
So, just
wow.
Yeah.
So just how long did you stay?
My son Aiden is up there, so we stayed through halftime in the parking lot. We stayed until the half was over. We went to the parking lot, did a little more tailgating, and then went and saw my son in his apartment, and then headed back. So, and then you know what I did? By the way,
that's a great looking campus too.
Is it?
It's come a long way.
Yes,
it really does. And Cameron even said it. He goes, "Wow, this is a great campus." I said, "You have no idea how far that they've come." Dave, I mentioned this, so I get back on Friday. Didn't know I was going to be able to do this. There was something called trunk or treat. And I had no. Do you know what this is?
Well, sure. They have trunk or treats all over the place.
New to me.
You have never heard of it.
Never. Well,
how is that possible?
No, I've heard of it, but I've never participated in a trunk or treat activity.
It's a fairly new concept, I think.
Oh, come on. Even I've heard of it. I have zero children.
Well, I wasn't sure at the beginning because I didn't know if you come up with your kid, do you put him in the trunk or do you ask for a treat? It was very confusing, some of the rules of trunk or treat. But the concept is we show up at the school. Now, I wasn't even going to go. Becky was going to go with Alexa. Hey, there's this. And I said, this was a dumb move. I said, hey, I think I'm going to be back in time because the game was so terrible. So I pick him up. We head to trunk or treat. It was the longest line I've ever seen in my life. We pull up to this school. I'm like, what in the world are they giving away? Well, there was just people showed up. It's a big line of parents and kids. And then the parents, very creative, by the way. I was stunned by this. It was funny because my wife said they were looking for volunteers. Thank God. She didn't take the hit because she would have showed up, opened the trunk of the car, the stolen car, by the way, and just had bags of candy. But there were people that did all this Day of the Dead. And
I was going to say, did you decorate
Mandalorian?
Your car?
Did you?
Yeah. The one that won, there was like a prize given out for the best, you know, the best trunk. And there was somebody that put a green, witch's face or something like that. And you had to grab the booger to get the candy.
Oh,
so it was up,
okay,
the, up the nose of the... It was, but it was funny.
Up,
you know,
the nose?
Well,
really?
You grab the candy. There was another kid, I think, in the trunk handing the candy. It's Halloween,
Sue,
and these are kids.
I get it. I have to just admit to you something. I don't like booger jokes, things. I just don't...
Kids, you know,
I'm
we say don't pick your nose.
Not my favorite thing.
Yeah,
okay.
I just don't love it.
Not my favorite thing either.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It really isn't.
Maybe a nice monster mouth,
yeah,
right, with
cool.
The trunk, right, with the teeth.
There was one family that did really good Day of the Dead.
Ooh, that's
theme,
cool.
And I thought they should have won, but I wasn't. I guess I didn't vote or something.
We will
like
be
that.
Doing our first one at our kids' preschool here the day before Halloween.
What are you? What's our plan with the clients?
Well, I know what their costumes are, but now the next step is. So I told my wife, I said, "Hey, we're confirmed for trunk or treat. We're going to be all set." She said, "All right, now we need to decorate the car." So
yes.
I don't know what we're going to do, but I asked Carl Middleman. Yes,
what
I
did
said,
he say?
"Hey." I know you've done these before.
Oh,
what advice do you have for me?
Please tell me he did not say something Star Wars.
Well, I just said advice in general, and he said two words, bring booze.
Oh, well, there you have it, Mark.
So.
Well, because the kids were having a great time, and I think the parents might have been better served if there was booze the other day, because the parents, a lot of them were just
so you didn't see
waiting
any there?
For their kids. Did I see, were you there?
No, wait. I'm saying you didn't see like any
I did.
Any
there
parents
were a couple
with,
of, yes, okay. There were a couple of parents that I think, but I remember one parent coming up and expressing a little guilt about the alcohol. My wife's like, no, more. We need more.
Well, see, I don't want to be the only one there with, you know, booze. If
I really
else
think you should
it.
Make
there,
the
look, that's cute,
into
though.
Like a monster.
Becky
that's
just
adorable.
Sent, that's the booger in the nose thing.
Okay.
See, look, that's Alexa.
It's not as bad
oh,
as
cool.
I thought.
I like
just
that.
Reaching
just
up
candy.
Into the nose.
It's just the
and
nose.
Grabbing
you just
candy.
Have to, if you would have just said you have to get the candy out of the nose,
it's the word booger that
fine.
Puts you off,
yes.
Right? Okay. Fair enough.
The snot rocket.
All right, we got to go here. I have a bunch of audio that I want to get to here this afternoon from Barry Weiss, who challenged Brian Stelter on CNN in an exceptional way. That's coming up. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Also, Frank Cusimano, some thoughts on the latest on Mike Schilt. And St. Charles County Police Chief Kurt Friz after 5 o'clock. We'll talk to him about car thefts in St. Chuck coming up as well later in the show. Former New York Times journalist, reporter Barry Weiss, I've talked about her a lot. She wrote that, you know, resignation letter a few summers ago, a few years ago. Maybe it was only 2 years ago. Time goes by quickly during a pandemic. And was heavily critical of some of the things going on at the New York Times. Started a great website, which is Barry Weiss's Substack. And people have posted, a lot of columnists have really, I think, contributed some outstanding content about the cancel culture and some of the other nonsense that's going on right there. So she goes on CNN with Brian Stelter. And let's just say it didn't go well for Brian Stelter. I don't know what he was expecting. But, you know, you have a situation with the media time and time again, and we've talked about this, where whether it's what they're leaving out, whether they're omitting things from the story, or just simply running with aspects of the story that are not true in any way, shape, or form, it happens on a regular basis. Things that deserve coverage, for example, the rape in Loudoun County, Virginia, of Mr. Smith's daughter, even though he was made out to be the bad guy at that school board meeting a couple of summers ago. Then the story comes out, and the Washington Post and CNNs of the world, they don't even want to talk about how it was a transgender student that was in the bathroom who raped the girl and was responsible for another assault. So Barry Weiss goes on CNN with Brian Stelter.
You write, there are tens of millions of Americans who aren't on the hard left or the hard right who feel the world has gone mad. So in what ways has the world gone mad?
So he seems perplexed by this. He's laughing. What, Barry Weiss, in what ways has the world gone mad? I don't know if he's anticipating that she won't really answer the question, but good Lord, she almost needed more time.
Well, you know, when you have the chief reporter on the beat of COVID for the New York Times talking about how questioning or pursuing the question of the lab leak is racist, the world has gone mad. When you're not able to say out loud and in public that there are differences between men and women, the world has gone mad.
Exactly.
When we're not allowed to acknowledge that rioting is rioting and it is bad, and that silence is not violence, but violence is violence, the world has gone mad. When we're not able to say that Hunter Biden's laptop is a story worth pursuing, the world has gone mad. When, in the name of progress, young school children, as young as kindergarten, are being separated in public schools because of their race, and that is called progress rather than segregation, the world has gone mad. There are dozens of examples that I could share with you.
I mean, she was just getting started there. She could go on, and half the people, well, most of the people who have contributed to her website have written about these things. And I don't know if Brian Stelter is just in, you know, well, he's ignorant. We know that already. Or if he's just naive or in denial. But all of this always has to come back to CNN. And I think he tries to wind it back that way again.
You say we're not allowed. We're not able. Who's the people stopping the conversation? Who are they?
People that work at networks, frankly, like the one I'm speaking on right now.
Yeah, you are the one. When you ask the question, that's you, Brian Stelter. That's your managers at CNN. You're the ones not covering the real aspects of a lot of these stories. You're covering it up. You're not giving attention to some of these things, and you're, you know, playing into the cancel culture. I think that's what her point is.
To try and claim that, you know, it was racist to investigate the lab leak theory. It was.
But
I mean,
who
let's
said
just
that
take
at CNN?
An example.
But I'm just saying that when you say allowed, I just think it's a provocative thing you say. You say we're not allowed to talk about these things, but they're all over the internet. I can Google them.
Brian,
I can find them everywhere. I've heard about every story you mentioned.
Of course.
All right. Now let's just stop there because he's heard of the stories. I'm sure he's heard about critical race theory because I talk about it. A lot of people on the right talk about it. Chris Rufo, by the way, has put a great guide out. I'll get to this a little bit later about combating critical race theory. But the CNNs of the world, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they want to act like this stuff isn't happening at all. And they don't cover it.
I'm just suggesting, of course, people are allowed to cover whatever they want to cover.
But you and I both know, and it would be delusional to claim otherwise, that touching your finger to an increasing number of subjects that have been deemed third rail by the mainstream institutions and increasingly by some of the tech companies will lead to reputational damage, perhaps you losing your job, your children sometimes being demonized as well. And so what happens is a kind of internal self-censorship. This is something that I saw over and over again when I was at the New York Times.
So, Barbara Weiss is doing a great job. And, you know, she wrote that. It was 2020 when she wrote that scathing resignation letter. She detailed the bullying. You know, Barry Weiss got out because she's no conservative. I think you could probably argue that. But the progressives, the left-wing colleagues were going so crazy. She said it was toxic. And she wrote in that resignation letter, it shouldn't be a requirement to show up for work at a centrist or as a centrist at an American newspaper to require bravery. But she was getting, as a moderate, as someone, again, she's not on the right. She's not, you know, a conservative. She's just someone who is more of a common sense centrist.
Yeah.
And, well, that's not good enough for the people of the New York Times. So that's why she quit. But she's doing a great job with her website at Substack. She did a great job with Brian Stelter over the weekend as well. Sue's News coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Cusimano as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.